Turn with me, if you would, now to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've been going through Matthew and Colossians and a few different places, but I felt led to be in 1 Timothy for a little bit. First Timothy 1. Let's read the last three verses in this chapter. These are very sobering verses to read. But I pray that these might be for our good and our encouragement. Even though they are very sobering to read, I pray the Lord might use them for our good and our encouragement. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18 says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Every time I read this, or any verses like that, I think, Lord, keep me. And I mean it. Keep us. I'm being serious. We assume on too many things sometimes. Like Peter did. Oh, they may all leave you, but not me. Isn't that what we all think? Yeah, I see this one go. What happened to that one? Where'd they go? Yeah, they all may leave you, but not me. Lord, don't let us put away our good conscience of faith that you have given to us. Lord, if you take your hand off of us, if you take your hand off of me, this is my heart in a matter like this, when I read something like this. Lord, if you take your hand off of me, I know that I am capable in my sinful, wicked flesh of doing that very thing right there. Please don't let me shipwreck the faith that you have given to me or the faith that you have given to my brothers and sisters. Don't let me shipwreck their faith. Please, please, don't let me turn from you into a blasphemer against you. Can you imagine how awful that would be? Please, Lord, don't let my name be named right there next to Hymenaeus and Alexander. Please let it not be said, of whom is Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Gabe, whom I have delivered unto the adversary, that they might learn not to blaspheme. Does that not kill you? Does that not slay you? And pierce you, just pierce your heart with the reality of that situation? Lord, please don't let me go. That is a helpless, weak, vulnerable state to be in. Lord, please don't let me go. Please don't let me stray. Please don't let me become as those who slowly, over time, just more and more forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It starts that small. It starts that small. That's how small it starts. And then it becomes more and more. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody, but this is the honest truth. It starts with, you know, Sunday night. Well, I already went Sunday morning. And then it's Sunday night, Wednesday night. Well, I'm kind of busy. And then it's Bible study Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then it's every other Sunday morning. Honestly. You know, these apostles kept saying, be vigilant, be sober. Be sober. That's what I want these young people. When you guys get behind the wheel of a car and you go out on your own, be vigilant. Be sober. Don't sleep the sleep of death. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Please don't let me be as those who just slip away. Just gone. Gone from worship. Gone from the gospel. Gone from the brethren. Gone. Gone from the faith. Gone from the belief they once held to. Gone. And not just gone from it, but deniers of it. Rejectors of it. That is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost that will not be forgiven. He said, I've delivered them to the adversary that they would learn not to blaspheme. They've made shipwreck the faith. Please, please. But for the grace of God, there go I. I acknowledge that. All right, I stand here in front of all of you acknowledging that. If God does not of His own sovereign will and power keep me, the very blood that I hope and pray to be under, I will turn from it. I will blaspheme against it. I will deny it. I will reject it. Lord, keep me. This is all I have as your pastor, as your brother, as your friend. That's all I have. Lord, keep me. I'm in a very vulnerable position, and so are you. Lord, keep us. That's all we have. Keep us. This is one of my greatest fears. I have quite a few fears. I can't help it. I'm weak in many areas, but I've known a lot of men who started out preaching a pretty sound message. And they swerved from it. They put it away. And this is one of my greatest fears, and this is the reason why. I don't trust myself. I don't trust in myself. I don't trust in my knowledge. I don't trust in my resolve. I don't trust in my faith. The only place that my trust is in Christ. That's it. That's the only place that my trust is. My hope is in the fact that if I believe not, if I wind up not believing, that would not shock this sinful flesh right here. All right, but this is where my hope is. It's that if I wind up believing not, yet He still abides faithful. That's my hope. And He cannot deny Himself. Here's where my hope is. If He is daily, now this is what He said concerning all those who belong to Him. He said, I am daily pleading, making intercession for them and all of their sin and all of their lack and all of their blasphemy and everything that they are in the flesh. My hope is in the fact that if He is daily pleading before the throne of God, making intercession on my behalf, pleading the blood He shed every time I sin against Him, every time I get lost in my flesh and caught up in my flesh. My hope is in the fact that if He is pleading the blood He shed, pleading the righteousness He earned, pleading the faith that He has given and will give more of, and by His goodness and His grace will increase and give more. My hope is built on the fact that he abides faithful. And if he's doing all of that for me, he cannot and will not deny himself. If he's pleading for me, he cannot deny himself. Lord, keep me. I read those three verses last week preparing for in my preparations for Sunday night. We looked at verse 17. And when I read that, I thought, oh, how awful. Maybe I can just incorporate that in with verse 17 somehow and just kind of touch on it, and we'll just move on. But the Lord didn't let me do that. He didn't let me go there, and I'm so glad now. Because after I preached that message, I looked at it again Monday, and I thought, what am I going to do with this? And as soon as I read it, I thought, oh, keep me. Keep me. Please keep us. Keep us, Lord. Oh, keep us cleaving. And this is a little insight to the message. This is how he keeps us. He keeps us cleaving. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing right up until the hour of our receiving promised joys from thee. Please, Lord, keep us. Keep us. If he does, if he's going to, and we're at his mercy, this is God on the throne. We're at his mercy. He does what he will with whom he will. And we're just crying out for mercy. We're just saying we're at your mercy. And if he does keep us, if we are going to be kept, here's a question for the message. How will he keep us? If he does, how will he keep us? How are God's people kept? I want to be kept. I want all of you to be kept. And our just cry, our beg to the Lord is, please keep us. If he does, how will we be kept? There are scriptures, I looked up quite a few scriptures that say things like, he has given his angels charge over thee to keep thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Psalm 121 says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. His ever watchful awake eye is on his people. But to get to the root of it, to really get to the root of it, let me show you three scriptures. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, it's all his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If we are going to be kept, it's going to be by the power of God. And we're going to have to look to, through faith, we're going to have to look to and trust in the ability of the Lord our God. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep. That's what I believe. If we're going to be kept, it's going to be by the power of God. It's not going to be by the power of our decision. It's not going to be by the power of our obedience. It's not going to be by the power of our resolve. I love that song, "I am resolved no longer to linger." I love that song. I don't know if it's good or not, but it's not going to be by our resolve. It's not going to be by our anything. It's going to be by the power of God. If we're kept, it's going to be by the power of God. That's the first thing. Number one, by the power of God. Number two, turn with me to John 17. John 17, verse 11, our Lord, praying to the Father, said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Thine own name, in thy name. If we are going to be kept, how will we be kept? Through his name. In his name. By remaining in his name. Now, this is why we preach what we preach. What do we preach? What did the Apostle Paul say we preach? What is our message time and time again? And we don't veer from it and we don't stray from it. What is his name? All right, the Son, praying to the Father, said, "I kept them in your name. Keep them in your name." What is his name? There is only one name given. The Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, this is Christ praying to the Father, speaking of the Father's name. Only one name is given. There's no other name given. There's not a name given separately for the Father and separately for the Spirit. One name is given to our God. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus Christ the righteous. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Father is in that name. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. A child is born, call him the everlasting Father." If we are going to be kept, it's going to be by the power of God in that name, in his name. We must gather around his name. We must preach his name. We must speak of his name. We must declare his name. If we're going to be kept, if we're going to be lost, it'll be by something else other than his name. We will get hung up on something else. If we want to veer away, all you have to do is get off of his name. That's all you have to do. It's going to be by the power of God, in his name, through this right here. Look at John 17, verse 15. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is truth. Sanctify means set them apart from. It means keep them. That's what it means. Through the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, this is what I want us to understand tonight. If our Lord is going to keep us, it's going to be by His power, in His name, through His word, through the truth of His word. He will open our eyes to the truth of what He has written in His word, and it will convict us. And it will convince us, that's right, I'm wrong. And that's right. It will strike fear in us. He will use this word. If He is going to keep us, it'll be by His power, in His name, through His word. He will use His own word to convict us, to convince us, to strike fear in us. And it'll leave us with nowhere to turn but the salvation that is in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This word will make us go running to Him. He will put us in a place through this word where we have to go running to Him. That's what our text tonight has done for me. I pray it's done that for all of us. If it leaves us crying, to whom else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We read about these two men who denied the faith, made shipwreck the faith, the truth of the word. And we think, Lord, if You don't keep us, that'll be us. But there's life nowhere else. You have the words of life. If that's our response, if that's what it does to us, if that's what a scripture like that does to us, then that scripture is keeping us. It's keeping us pointed to Christ. It's pushing us to Christ. That's what it's doing. Go with me back to 1 Timothy 1. Verse 18 says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. The charge at the beginning was in verse 3. If you look at verse 3, he said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Nothing else but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. No other name, no other salvation, no other faith, no other hope. And Paul said in verse 18, as I told you, Timothy, to charge them, don't preach anything else, no other name, no other faith. He said, I'm giving you the same charge. Verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. All of those holy scriptures that you learned from a child, from your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois, don't leave them. Don't forsake them. He went on to say, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We are not. We are wrestling with principalities and powers and everything else. I've said it so many times. Do you find it so interesting how you can go to the movies and be captivated for an hour and a half, 2 hours, hang on every word? But listening to the gospel preached is just all you can do. There's nothing that you struggle to focus in more than listening to the gospel preached. Me too. That's it. Me too. It's all of God's people. It's because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. Well, I'm just so tired on Wednesdays, but I'm not on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. I'm just not. Saturday night, I'm ready to go. Lord, help us. How do we war a good warfare? He said, war a good warfare. How do we do that? Verse 19, holding faith. What does that mean? That means looking to Christ. Preach His word, declare Him in His power, in His name, in His truth, in His word. All Scripture is given to turn us back to Christ. All Scripture is profitable for turning us back to Christ, for keeping us in the faith of looking to Him. That's where we need to be. Crying out to Him, begging for mercy from Him. If God will keep us right there, He will keep us from shipwrecking our faith. If He keeps us in the place where we realize our broken, humble, desperate need for His help, that's the place that keeps a man or a woman from shipwrecking their faith. When they're just begging, please, I'm just so insufficient. I know I'll run. I know if you take one finger off of me, I'll run. That's the place that keeps a man or a woman looking to Christ. And that's the place where a man or woman will not make shipwreck the faith that God has given to them. He will keep us from blaspheming against Him in unbelief. So, Lord, please don't let us stray from Your power. We cannot run from His power unless He lets us. Please don't let us. Please don't let us stray from Your name. Please let us not open this word and get hung up on some other subject than Your name. Please don't let us stray from this word. Don't let us get, you know, Dr. So-and-so's book on who knows what and start teaching that. Please don't let us stray from the word of Your finished work, the word of Your glory. Keep us. Keep us. Give this charge to us. The charge You gave Paul, the charge You gave Timothy, the charge You give to all Your people. Give it to us. Hold the faith. Look to Christ. Let me close with two portions of Scripture here. This is a charge and a promise, okay? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, that means prove it. Prove it by the word. Rebuke with it. Exhort with it. Do it with patience. Do it with the word. Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou. Lord, help us to do it. Give us eyes to watch. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Lord, keep us right there. By Your power, in Your name, through Your word, keep us right there. Don't let us stray. Don't let us draw back. Prone to wander, Lord, we feel it. Please don't let us go. Now, through the charge of God's word, let me close with this promise, okay? Turn to John chapter 10. This is a wonderful promise. This is what faith clings to. Holding, this is the opposite of shipwreck right here. The man holding to this, this is faith. John 10, verse 11, he said, our Lord said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now look at verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know what he's saying right there? I'm going to keep them. I am going to keep you. Every soul who's crying, please, please don't let me go. To everyone, he says, I'm going to keep you. If you hear my voice in this word saying, I am the only God, there is none else. I am the only Savior, there is none else. I am the only way, there is none else. You follow me. And your heart cries, please let me follow you. To everyone, he says, I'm going to keep you. And I'm going to do it through my word. Through the leading, the teaching, the guiding, the convicting of my word. You're going to hear my voice in it. You're going to follow me through it. And you're going to be kept. Lord, keep us right there. Keep us right there in your hand. He said, you're in my hand. I'm in my Father's hand. Nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Keep us right there in your power, your name, your word. For Christ's sake, let us be kept. That's our prayer. That's our hope. He said, you ask that, you'll receive. All right, let's all stand together.